Hello and welcome to the Destination Sailing Channel on Yachting International Radio.
I'm Carla.
And I'm Simon.
And we are from the YouTube sailing channel Sailing Ocean Fox.
Over the past 3 years, we have sailed over 25,000 miles on our catamaran through the Mediterranean, across the Atlantic and the Caribbean.
In this series, we will be looking at some of our favorite islands, towns and remote caves we have visited during our adventure.
This will give you a fresh insight on your next destination, what to expect on arrival, places to stay, things to do, and how to find those all important provisions, from propane to bananas.
So let's start with this week's location, which is Los Roques.
Yeah, we last visited there in the summer of 2019, as we're avoiding the hurricane season. It's located around about 100 miles north of Caracas and 3 days sailing west of Grenada. Pirate Alley.
Yes, it is.
Need to take a few precautions there if you're going on that track.
Yeah.
But that is absolutely a fantastic sail, isn't it?
Fantastic sail.
Especially in a cat. Fantastic. Yeah. So Los Roques is made up of around about 350 islands and caves. It's been a national park since 1972.
Yes. Covers an area of 15 square miles. It has 580 square miles of coral reefs.
Yeah, there's a lot more reef there than
in
one island. So you have to watch out for the reefs. There's no question about that.
Yeah. It's home to 1,500 people and has about 70,000 visitors a year.
It's a very, very low country, very low, apart from La Gran Roques, which has an overall height of 37 metres, about 115 feet.
Yes.
And that's the first thing that you see, isn't it, as you approach from the west.
Yeah.
From the east, sorry. Yeah.
So the language is Spanish, so it's a good place for you to start practicing your Spanish if you're learning.
Yeah. Do they speak proper Spanish there?
Yes.
Or do they have quite a strong dialect?
No, I think they speak pretty good.
COVID, there's bound to be some COVID restrictions, so please check with Noonside to see what the latest situation is. The weather.
The climate is warm and dry, with average annual temperature of 27.3 Celsius degrees, 81.1 Fahrenheit, in July and August, which is a maximum of 34 degrees.
Yeah, it's basically typical Caribbean weather, really, isn't it? But it's out of the hurricane belt.
It's out of the hurricane belt, which is good.
Good, yeah. And if you are planning to try and find somewhere, Los Roques is a great place for a couple of weeks, and then you've got the ABC Islands a little bit further down the road.
Yeah.
And they're all quite easy to get to.
Yeah, but don't rush to go there. Just stay in Los Roques as
absolutely
much as possible.
Absolutely.
It is paradise
in the Caribbean. The currency is the Venezuelan Bolivar. Is that correct?
Bolivar.
Thank you. And there's around about 10 of those to the US dollar. So they'll basically take any money they can get.
They will take anything. If you have dollars, they will be happy to take
dollars.
Yeah,
they'll be very happy.
Yeah.
Regarding navigation, now, what I've described is very interesting. basically, the whole islands, the archipelago, is split into three zones. And zone one, you can't get there at all. That you can only actually go to zone two and zone three. And what you can do in some of those zones are restricted. But you mustn't rely on your charts. We were going to come in from the east through a little channel, and as we got closer to it, we realised that where the Navionics chart said the channel was most definitely reef, and the waves were breaking on it, and the channel was further away. So we decided to scrap that idea, and in fact we went all the way around the back of Gran Roques just to make sure that we were safe.
Yeah.
We could have come in between. There is a good route through, but
we didn't want to risk. Yeah,
no,
we took another.
Yeah.
It was another hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was another hour, but it was well worth doing that. You need to have somebody on the bows the whole time, don't you?
Yeah.
Really watching where you're going and being square.
Yeah.
Voyage. There are some voyage there actually. It's Region B, so the green square tops will be on the left-hand side as you approach. There's some voyage between Le Grand Roquess and the other islands there, and they were pretty good, actually. I'm not sure whether they had lights on, but during the day they were pretty good. So this brings us on to checking. Now, this is a whole experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have to take this one slowly, be patient, and allow most of the day.
Yes. Yeah. So you first going to be approached by the harbour master, which is going to get...
Jose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very relaxed person. He's going to try to take you $50, saying that's the first fee you have to pay. And don't do it. Just say no. First, I have to go to Satin.
The Satin is
the official.
Official. That's it. It's not called Satin. That's the...
Yeah, that's the initials.
Initials for it. They're up by the airport, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. Just by the airport. And they are the official people that you have to start paying yet. So anyone trying to get your money before that, just say, I will come back to you later. Let me go to Satin first.
Yeah.
Just say that. They are very pleasant. They won't refuse. They won't say, no, you have to do it here or anything. No. If you contest, you just... you can't.
The thing is, when you actually drop your anchor off Grand Roquess, there's a blue floating dinghy dock, and that's the place which you're automatically attracted to go to, and that is right next door to Jose's office.
Yes.
So consequently, he's there because there's only one boat turns up every two or three days.
Yeah.
And so he sort of comes out and grabs you. He's delightful, actually.
Yeah.
And he fills in a couple of forms and charges you $50,
which we paid for because we didn't know.
We didn't know.
But he gave us back at the end.
At the end. Then, hello Dobby, you've come to say hello. This is Dobby, by the way, if you haven't met him before. The next place we went to was Customs.
Customs?
Now, you don't pay at Customs, do you?
No, he was very strict, wasn't it?
He was very strict.
Very, his uniform, and he was very, this is the form, you fill the form up, and they gave us, and they said you're free to go.
And he kind of had this big book, which must have had about 500 pages in over the last, been filled in probably for the last 40 or 50 years or something with ships' names. And he had a little Honda generator going, so the room was nice and chill, because they don't have electricity during the day.
No, they don't.
There's no electricity in the day because they don't have enough fuel to power the generators, the main generators on the island. So just going back to, so we've done Harbour Master, then we've done Customs.
And then you finally go to Satin, which you have to walk along the road up to the end of the island, and you'll find the airport, and it's just on the left side.
They're in a sort of cabin,
a container.
No, they were very helpful, actually.
Very, very helpful, because by that time, they charged us around $200. We didn't have the money because we already paid 50 to Jose.
Yeah.
And then they worked out the measure of the boat and the number of persons on board for the money we had.
Yeah, so they did a sort of recalculation and said, well, okay, we'll just say your boat's 30 foot long and there's only one person on board, and then you've got enough money to pay us.
Yes.
But she made it very clear, we mustn't pay anybody else.
Yes, she said, don't pay anyone else, just start paying here. He is the
only
place
you're
going to have to pay.
And she distributes some money to all the other different departments. That's actually how it works.
That's how it works.
So after you've been to Satin and paid your money there, you then go to immigration, which is across the road in a house.
Yes.
And even though the guy there knows that he mustn't take any money off you, he wants $20 each. He kind of takes your passport and says, do you want me to put a stamp in them or not? Because obviously some people don't want to admit they've been to Venezuela, because this is part of Venezuela.
Yeah.
And anyway, we've went, yeah, that's fine. We're quite happy. We don't have a problem with it. Before he gave us it back, he said, I want $20 each. For the passports, but he knows he's not allowed to charge you.
Yeah,
but he still does.
And he knew we didn't have any money too, because he was at the other office.
Yeah,
so he was happy to take any other money we had.
So he had some Eastern Caribbean dollars, which amounted to about five. So after that, you then go back to the boat, and you get caught by the Coast Guard,
which he says he has to make an inspection on your boat. And you have to pay him $50 too. And by that time, we already knew we don't have to pay anyone else. So we told him, no. We were told at Satin that we don't have to pay anything. And he said, oh, okay. So we have a party tonight. If you can give us,
a bottle of rum.
Bottle of rum.
For the party.
Said, we don't have rum. We have beer. And he said, no, I don't want beer.
So we settled on a bottle of red wine. The boat inspection is a matter of them filling a form out, and quite honestly, they don't even bother to look at the boat. They just tick various things on the form and ask for some contribution.
Yeah.
I mean, this island is very poor. They don't have much money. They don't have a lot of things, and everybody is trying to make a little bit of money on the side.
But they are very friendly, very friendly. They are very pleasant to you. They are never rude to you, even if you don't want to give them any money. They are still happy about
isn't it? So let's move on to all those necessary things that you may wish to acquire when you're somewhere new. So let's just start with the vet, cats and dogs. Nothing happens with that.
So you're fine to take your dog or your cat.
Yeah, nobody's going to worry about that, I don't think. Dinky dogs. Well, as I said, there is one in Grand Rock, Rockes. But after that...
Grand Rock, isn't
Grand
it?
Grand Rock.
Grand Rock,
Grand Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a blue floating pontoon, and you can tie up there. But quite honestly, everywhere else, you just beach the dinghy.
Yeah,
you don't really need to ask. There's no sort of... proper fuel pumps or anything, but I guess they must have some fuel somewhere because there's a lot of fishermen and things with outboard motors and tripping boats.
Probably something you can arrange with the harbour master.
Harbour master, Jose, go see him. Likewise with propane, I don't even know whether you'll find propane.
No.
But this is how remote these islands are.
It's very, very remote,
Supermarkets, Carla.
Supermarkets! You have a small shop in town with nothing there.
Yeah.
They had like lemons,
few tins of stuff, didn't it?
Yeah, but not
and
a
it
very
was incredibly expensive.
Don't count on buying anything.
You're gonna have to
there.
Take everything with you.
Take everything
with you.
Yeah.
Things like jewelry and hardware, they must have some on the island, but you're not gonna find a shop or anything like that. But just along slightly east of the dinghy dock, there's an area where the locals seem to service their boats and repair them. So I guess you just have to go and ask, or go back to Jose and say, I need a spark plug for my outboard or whatever it happens to be. There's no boatyard as such, as far as I'm aware, but there may be possible to try something out if you need to. So this is probably one of the most remote places in the Caribbean, isn't it? And equally, it's one of the most beautiful
places, and it's safe. We felt safe. We never felt that we're going to have, problems or anything.
No.
And everyone we met on that island, they said, this island is safe. This is safe. Here is safe. You don't have problems. And we never had problems, honestly.
No.
And all the cruisers we met on the way that went there, they said the same thing.
So, as we said, it's 350 islands and cays. So, regarding main islands, main harbours, islands and anchorages, we're actually just going to sort of run through the places that we went to, because it is obviously with that many islands, there are hundreds of places that you could go. The kind of centre area where the lagoon is, it might be too shallow. We tried to venture in there, we drew 1.2 metres, and to be honest, we got quite scared after about a quarter of a mile. There's a lot of bombers around. It is absolutely stunning. Even the clouds are bluey green color because of the
and the birds reflection. The birds are green underneath.
It's absolutely stunning.
It's beautiful. The wildlife is amazing. If you are into wildlife and see that, it's just amazing.
So let's run through where we went. So from Grand Rocks, we went off
to Fransky,
which is there's about four islands in a little curve. It gives you a sort of big bay area. You have to go over quite a shallow area to get there, but then we dropped our anchor there, and this was absolutely out of this world, wasn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely stunning. There was a little sandbar going out which you walked along and things like that. There's a couple of kite surfing schools there, because kite surfing is quite big.
The kite surfing schools are in the middle of the water,
on stilts. Absolutely gorgeous.
Beautiful.
There was quite a lot of yachts there which were abandoned and sunk, and I did make some inquiries, and they said that they used to be there, belonged to wealthy Venezuelan people, but with all the problems and situations, they've been kind of abandoned. And in some storms, they've dragged their anchors or their mooring is broken. But I think they're pretty well written off, to be honest. We spent a couple of nights up there, absolutely stunning, loved it to bits. Then the next island we went to was Kransky.
Yes.
This is where You've got the island's around about 3 miles long, and it has the most beautiful beach you've ever seen in your life. I mean, the whole one side is one beach, and you can walk along there for hours.
The sand is so white, so white.
And the water's so clear. Yeah. The blues are stunning, and you can just see starfish there.
Starfish, the rays.
Rays just swimming along just, with you. Yeah. Everything's so friendly. They're not they're not scared of you, are they?
Because it's probably not many people there.
No. We stayed there a few nights, and we were completely isolated on our own. The first time we went, actually, there was a couple of other boats. What you find happens is that people turn up in the day and then they go, don't they?
They go, yeah, it's a day trip,
Then, Cayo Filippo. This is a little inlet, really, like a little mangrove inlet. And we managed to find a little beach there, and we dropped the anchor and took a line ashore. Wow, that was beautiful.
We could walk to the beach from the boat, and we had a beach barbecue. Most beautiful beautiful
a
sunset.
massive starfish wasn't it, just sitting there in the shallows. Absolutely gorgeous. The locals do use part of that island as a bit of a trash bin, don't they?
They do, because they do the day trips. If they have this organized day trips that they do with the tourists, and then they leave the trash there, which is sad.
But taking that apart, it is an absolutely stunning location. And I think there was two other boats in the anchorage when we were there. Now, the next place that we went to was Dos Mosquitos.
Dos Mosquitos, yeah.
Which is the two mosquito islands down on the sort of south side of the archipelago, where we will find, and we'll talk about it in a minute, the turtle sanctuary.
Turtle sanctuary,
And then our last stop was Cayo de Agua.
Cayo de Agua.
Yep, which is two islands linked with this enormous sandbar.
Beautiful. Everything you have to say about that place is just beautiful. It is paradise. It is the most beautiful place we found in the Caribbean.
It's probably more like somewhere you would meet out in the Pacific Ocean than in the Caribbean. And it's the only atoll structure in the Caribbean, so it is absolutely stunning. So what to see and do? Well, we just said it's the most beautiful place in the Caribbean.
I know we're repeating ourselves, but guys, if that is on your route, if you're going down to the ABC Islands to get away of the hurricane season, stop there. You won't have a problem there. You might have problems on the way there, because it's a pirate
area off Venezuela. But what we did was we kind of went a bit further north and then dropped back down again, so we were
we kept 150 miles off the coast.
And we actually didn't have a problem whatsoever. And I haven't actually come across anybody having a problem.
I want to go back one day then.
I'd love to go back. This would be the number one place I would go, I have to say. So a lot of wealthy Venezuelans come to La Rocas. And they come from on the aircraft, and there are some small hotels in the main town, where you can stay. And then what people do is they get one of the local people to take them out in a boat. So they go out at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then they bring you back from the islands around 4 in the afternoon.
Those little boats that are called Los Piñeros.
Very good. and they set you up with an umbrella and a couple of chairs and a big cooler with all your food.
It's kind of a pack, because they bring the cooler with the food.
And then you spend a day on the beach in some very, very remote place. And I know that it's not necessarily what everybody wants to go to a remote place, I understand that, but this is so beautiful and so unspoilt.
So unspoilt,
that,
yes.
You know, this place is an absolute gem, and it really, really is worth a good visit. There used to be, or there still is, a lot of kite surfing.
Kite surfing, that's a really good spot for kite surfing.
Because you've got the trade winds blowing, so they're blowing at 25, 30 knots, and you've got dead flat water and shallows and things like that. But apparently people used to go from Bonaire on the weekends to go kite surfing.
But then the borders closed.
Diving's another big thing. So obviously swimming and bird watching.
Because the bird life there is just amazing. I haven't seen anything like it anywhere.
I think it's because there's a lack of people that therefore there are so many birds around because they haven't been you know, caught and various things like that. And the whole place is absolutely full of them. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And then you have the turtle sanctuary, like we said before. And so we found this, I really wanted to go and visit. So when we got there, we found this guy looking after the turtle sanctuary. He was left there. They are supposed to swap him every 4 weeks, isn't it? But they forgot him. It was 5 weeks and the guy was there by himself. He didn't have any food. He showed us his fridge, his cupboard, he showed us everything. He didn't have any food, anything. So we went back to the boat, we got him a big bag of food, we got shirts, we gave him money. Because
DVDs.
DVDs. So, because the guy was just left, there was so sad to see. It was very emotional, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very emotional. And he actually earns $8 a month. That's what he gets paid, and he lives on the island on his own. And then he basically should do 4 weeks on, 4 weeks off. But as we say, nobody had been out there, and he was totally on his own, isolated. It was really quite sad. He was so delightful, though, wasn't he?
He was. And then when we went back to bring him the stuff, he actually the people came.
The rescue boat came,
and he looked at us and said, "You brought me luck."
No, no, it was a real tearjerker, absolutely worth going to see.
He knows everything about turtles. You have all the tanks that, that he looks after. He knows every single thing you want to know about turtles, the guy knows.
This is, for us, our favourite place in the Caribbean by far. It's a wonderful place to visit. You really feel like you're going back in time. I mean, for example, in the main town, all the roads are just sand. There's no asphalt or anything like that. The people are all terribly cheerful, very happy.
Very, very happy people, very nice people,
It's
it is a safe place to go.
Yeah.
We wouldn't tell you if it's not.
I
mean, we've been in other places that we check in and out at the same day. This place, we wish we stayed there for a month.
Yeah, we really wish we do. We had a bit of an issue over insurance. Our insurance company would only give us insurance for 2 weeks to go there because it is Venezuela. We left after about 10 days because there was a bit of a blow coming through and we were just a bit concerned because it is very, very flat. And though you've got protection from the waves building up, you don't have any protection from the wind at all. We then sailed directly to Bonaire, which we did in a day, I think. I think we left first thing in the morning. Well, we left the previous day. I think we did an overnighter down to Bonaire, and we got in just before dark.
Just before dark,
And the next morning we went to check in, and they wouldn't accept
Let us.
No. So we had to spend a couple of hours arguing and talking.
So if you do that and the borders are still closed, just don't get your passport stamped and don't tell them you have been in Los Roques before. Just tell him your last port was Grenada or
something. Yeah, just get yourself out of Grenada.
Because they never look at dates on the passport, so they just want to know where was your last port. So just...
just get yourself from Grenada and get them to fill it out that you're going to Bonaire. And stop off at the Roques. Roques won't ask for any ZARP or anything.
No.
They won't want to know anything about it at all.
No.
Fantastic location. It, you know, if you're going that way, it really is worth the place to stop.
Yes, it is.
And you could easily spend a month there or 2 months there, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So long as you've got enough provisions. Well, a water maker would be essential.
Essential. We met people that stayed there 3 months.
Absolutely brilliant.
So thank you very much for listening to our channel on Yachting International Radio.
Just a reminder that you can see our adventure on YouTube at Sailing Ocean Fox.
And we will put the link below to the episodes that we have been there.
Thank you. So next week we will be going to Cartagena.
Cartagena, we are back in the Med.
Yeah, back in the Med. And this is a wonderful city to go and discover.
Very nice.
This is Simon and Carla from Sailing Ocean Fox on Yachting International Radio. Until next week, fair winds wherever you are.